As we get started this morning, my apologies to Al, because Al is the one person that I know. Every morning during the prayer closet, I know that Al is listening. And so I never give a word on Sundays that I give on the prayer closet, because I know Al's already listening. But the word that I had, I actually had a whole message written for this morning. I was sitting down with Donna, I think it was Thursday at lunch. And I said, you know, it's a good word. I mean, you know, I'm unsettled about it. And so I was just talking to her about what I've been talking about on the prayer class, and she said, Todd, that's what you're supposed to share this week. And I thought, oh, yeah, it is. So there's some new stuff in her, Al, so it's not going to be all repeat for you. But this is something that was just passionate on my heart for this whole week. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word. We receive it. We receive it with joy. And I thank you that you just stir within each one of us just zeal and excitement for always more of your word and for more of you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I was sharing with you guys that I had experienced some symptoms at the beginning of the, or at the spring and early summer, and it was some symptoms that in the natural caused a little bit of fear and caused a little bit of concern for me. But I've seen Jesus do so many things. I've seen him heal so many times in my life and in others' lives that I knew what to do. So I did what I always do, and I stood on the Word of God, and I spoke the Word of God to my body. And I spoke the word of God, and the symptoms were gone the next day. Now, but wait, there is an amen coming. But like three or four days, symptoms were gone. Then they came back. So I did the same thing. I stood and I spoke to my body, and I thanked Jesus for his healing. And the symptoms were gone for like 3 or 4 days, and then they came back. And this went on for literally weeks. And then it got to the point that the symptoms came back, they got worse, and they remained. Now, I want to clarify before we go any further. I have been delivered and healed from all of those symptoms in Jesus' name. Amen? See, that's praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's a huzzah right there. Huzzah, yeah. And I'm not saying that in faith. That is a fact. The symptoms have been gone for months. And he gave me total peace. And I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. But the reason I bring this up is because when things like that happen, it raises the question in our minds. It raises the question, what do we do? When we stand on the Word of God and we speak the Word of God in faith, but we don't see the results taking place in the natural. Or in some cases, like I'm just talking about, where we see the opposite take place. What do we do in those situations? Because every single one of us has been in that situation. You know, and maybe you're experiencing that now. You stand on the Word, but it gets frustrating because you're not seeing the results. We believe the Word, we know the power of the Word, but we're not seeing the results, and it gets frustrating. And that's where the flesh rises up. And that's where the flesh starts to say, why isn't the word working? Or the flesh will say, what am I doing wrong? When we stand on the word of God in faith and we don't see the promises coming to pass, it wears on our faith. And you know, that's the time. That is the exact time that we're tempted to accept those circumstances and just say, well, this is something I just have to learn to live with. But my friends, that is the trap of Satan. That is his foothold of doubt into our lives so that he can erode our faith in other areas in our life. When we accept anything in our lives that is contrary to the Word of God, when we accept anything that's contrary to the Word of God, one of the next steps you're going to take is grief. It's grief because we grieve over what was lost. We grieve over what the enemy has taken from our lives, whether it's our health or our finances or whatever it might possibly be. Listen, Satan can get us to sit down and grieve over our losses. He's keeping us from standing up and standing on the Word of God. Let me give you an example. In the book of Job, immediately after Job suffers his initial afflictions from Satan, the Bible tells us that three of Job's friends come to comfort him. But they are so shocked by the appearance of Job when they get there that they're left speechless. So instead of standing and speaking words of comfort, instead, they sit and grieve with Job for his loss. Look at this. This is exactly what it says. This is Job chapter 2, verse number 13. Job 2, 13. Job's right before Psalms, so it's like one of the easiest books in the Bible to find. So they sat down with him on the ground. They sat down with him on the ground. They're not standing. If Satan can get us to sit and grieve, he's keeping us from standing on the word. So they sat down on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. If you're experiencing circumstances in your life that are contrary to this word of God, if you're experiencing those circumstances contrary to the word, then I assure you, the enemy of your soul is trying to frustrate your faith with those circumstances. Because what he wants to do is bring us from that powerful position of standing on the word of God down to the defeated position of sitting and grieving over our perceived losses. They're not losses unless we yield. He wants us to grieve over the perceived losses that we see. Every one of us has stood on the word of God in faith and believed for something. And with the passage of time and not seeing the results, it's easy to get frustrated and it's easy to get confused. Amen? Am I the only one? It's easy to get in that place. And when that happens, there's only two options that we find. And these options are expressed to us clearly from the example of Mary and Martha following the death of their brother Lazarus. Now, we read this in John chapter 11. And we're going to see a lot of verses in John chapter 11. So go ahead and keep that opened up. John chapter 11, we're going to read verses 18 and 19 to start off this morning. Lazarus was sick, and his sisters sent word of this to Jesus. When the word came to Jesus, Jesus knew by the Holy Spirit that Lazarus was already dead. But Lazarus and the disciples went back to Bethany, and when they were in Bethany, this is what Jesus saw. John chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. If you guys were in Israel with us, this is one of the places I was most excited to go see, because so much happens with Jesus in Bethany. 2 miles away, it's on the backside of the Mount of Olives. Jerusalem, Kidron Valley, Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, on the backside of the Mount of Olives, that's where Bethany is. So very close. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. I want you to notice that Mary and Martha were receiving comfort from many. This sounds to me just like Job's friends. Because the world by its nature is always going to lead us to sit and to grieve. Because that's all the world knows. Grief and loss. It's only in the Word of God that we find hope and gain. When I'm struggling against the carnal realities of this world, in other words, when I'm struggling because something in this natural realm is presenting something that's contrary to the Word of God, when I'm struggling against those carnal realities and I'm trying to stand on the Word of God, and I'm trying to believe and receive the truth that I cannot yet see, I don't need at that point someone to come and sit with and grieve with me. Because if somebody sits and grieves with me, all that does is make me believe that my situation must be final. It must be over. That leads me to accept the loss. It leads me to accept the loss at the very moment that I need to be standing on the Word of God. When I'm not seeing, when I'm not yet seeing His promises in this natural, we will if we stand. But when I'm not yet seeing His Word, His promises in this natural realm, when I'm not yet seeing that, that's when I need to continue to stand on the Word of God, because I only have one of two options at that point. Now, this next verse is the key to everything that I'm talking about this morning, because it so clearly defines the two options that we have when we're standing on the Word, but we're not realizing, we're not yet seeing His promises come to pass. This is verse number 20. If you forget everything else this morning, remember verse number 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, Martha got up and went to meet Jesus. But Mary, she remained sitting in the house of grief. And she accepted the loss as done, as finished. Now, let's be honest. When we talk about Mary and Martha, our first thought is not usually on this account. Our first thought is on the account of Mary and Martha when Jesus first comes to their house. And that's important for us to realize as well. So, let's go back and look at that story. This is in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, because we learn two lessons. We learn a lesson from Mary in that first encounter, and then we learn a valuable lesson from Martha in the second encounter that we just looked at. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 40. Now it happened that as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So Martha is toiling with serving Jesus Christ, and she's doing it without the help of her sister. And she complains about this, and Martha asks Jesus to compel her sister Mary to come and to help her to serve. But Jesus says that Mary chose the good part. Mary chose the part of listening to the Word of God and to being filled with the Word of God. Being filled with the Word of God. That's the valuable lesson that we learn from that encounter. That's the valuable lesson that we learn from Mary. Be filled with the Word of God. The lesson from Mary's encounter. But there's the next encounter. The next encounter. And in that next encounter, that's as they're facing the death of their brother Lazarus. That next encounter is the sequel to their story. And the sequel brings with it a different message. It's a different lesson. It's the lesson that we learn from Martha. From Mary we learn, fill yourself with the Word of God. But there's another lesson that we learn from Martha. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Both of these sisters, Mary and Martha, they were both grieving over the loss of their brother. They were grieving and confused over the loss of their brother. Both of these sisters believed that Jesus could have healed their brother had he been there. In fact, you see both of them speak those exact words when they meet Jesus. You can kind of read between the lines and tell that because of their frustration, because of their confusion, they had had this conversation before Jesus came. They both had talked about, clearly they both discussed, that had Jesus been here, Lazarus would not have died, because they both used the exact same words. Look at verse number 21 as Martha finds Jesus, and then we're going to look at verse number 32 when Mary sees Jesus. In verse number 21, John 11, verse number 21, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Word for word, much later, go down to verse number 32. This is exactly what Mary says when she comes to Jesus. "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Both of these sisters believed that their brother would not have died if Jesus had been there. Both of them believed that Jesus could have healed their brother. And yet, here they are. Yet even though they believed, here they are, dealing with the exact opposite results in their life. They both believed, but they both saw something different. For both of these sisters, this is the crucial moment for them. It's a critical moment for them. They believed, but they're experiencing something different. They're experiencing the opposite. When they witness evidence that's contrary to the word that they have been believing, when they experience that which is contrary, what are they going to do at that moment? And here's the greater question for us. In that moment, what am I going to do? This is the lesson from Mary and Martha and from their sequel. This is the lesson that we learn from Martha. Because here's what Martha did. Martha got up and she went to Jesus. She went to meet Jesus. But Mary stayed. She remained sitting in the house of unbelief. She remained sitting in the house of grief. Mary saw the story is finished. What more could be done? Her brother was dead. From Mary's perspective, she accepted this as the end of the matter. And because of that, Mary chose to sit there in that house of grief and be consoled by the world. She sat and she fed her grief over her perceived loss. When we speak the Word of God in faith, when we stand on the Word of God, but we don't see the spiritual realities immediately displacing the natural realities, that's when we are tempted. That's when it becomes easy to yield and to accept something that is not part of your inheritance in Jesus. Just think about that for a second. When we stand on the Word of God and we speak the Word of God in faith, but we don't see the spiritual realities displacing the natural realities, that's when it becomes easy to yield and to accept that which is not part of your inheritance in Jesus. That's when it becomes easy for us to say, well, I guess I just have to learn to live with this situation. But in doing so, what happens is we then miss God's glory being evidenced in our lives. And other people miss seeing that as well. Martha did not sit. Even though she was facing the exact same natural realities, she's looking at the exact same thing, dealing with the exact same thing that her sister Mary is. But Martha would not sit. Martha would not grieve at the perceived loss. Martha would not accept that this was the end of the matter. Martha is our example. Martha is where we learn this next valuable lesson. Because here's what we need to know that Martha knew. Here's the lesson that we need to learn from Martha. If your results don't match up with the Word of God, then it's not the final result. If your result doesn't match up with this, it's not the final result. You'll know when your battle is over. Your battle is over when your circumstances line up with the promises of the Word of God. Until that time, we keep standing on the Word of God, and we stand regardless of what we see in the natural. This is the example that we learn from Martha. You see, in Martha and Mary, in their first experience with Jesus at their house, from that, we learned from Mary the importance of being filled with the Word of God. That's a great lesson. It's a great truth. Be filled with the Word of God. But we can't stop there. This is the sequel to their story. The first part we learn about being filled. Now here's the sequel to their story. This is what we're supposed to learn. Because here's what happened with Mary. Mary was filled with the Word of God. But when the situation suggested, when the situation gave the appearance that the Word or that Jesus was not working, Mary accepted the defeat. And she sat and grieved at her prospective loss. That's what Mary did. But that's not what we're supposed to do, and that's not what we see from Martha. Mary sat and received. Mary sat and took. Mary had been fed, but she stopped there. She didn't go the rest of the way. We see from Martha what we're supposed to do. See, it's not enough for me just to be filled up with the Word of God. I need to be pursuing all the promises that are in the Word of God. And I need to pursue those promises until I see the fulfillment of those promises in every area of my life. This is the lesson that we learn from Martha. This is Martha's example for us. Mary's lesson, be fed with the Word. Martha's lesson, you continue to pursue the Word of God. You stand and you stand and you continue to stand until you see the circumstances line up and match with the Word of God. That's Martha's example. See, Martha wouldn't just sit. She didn't sit and wait for Jesus to come to her. She went to meet Jesus. She pursued Jesus. I need to pursue Jesus in His Word. No matter what I see, no matter what I'm experiencing, I need to pursue Jesus and pursue His Word. Somebody say amen so I know I haven't lost yours. We learn another lesson from Martha. When Martha was faced with circumstances that were contrary to the Word of God, Martha pursued a word from Jesus. I mean, just think about that. When Martha saw circumstances that didn't line up with what she believed, what she was standing for, she pursued. She went after Jesus, and she was looking for a word from Jesus that she could stand on. We see that in verse number 22. John 11, verse number 22. I'm going to show you this from the Amplified Bible. And even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, He will grant it to you. This is what Martha said when she came to Jesus. Martha is saying, I believed. But even now, in the face of contrary evidence, I believe in the power of God to do the impossible through you, Jesus. It's as though Martha is saying to Jesus, Jesus, give me a word that I can stand on at this moment when things look hopeless and it appears to be over. Give me a word that I can stand on. And Jesus gives her a word that she can stand on. Verse number 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha, in that moment when it appeared hopeless and it appeared to be over, is going after, pursuing, looking for a word from Jesus. And Jesus gave her a word. Then we see that Jesus leaves no doubt at all to His promises for Martha and for Mary and for Lazarus. He leaves no doubt to His promises. And He gives Martha a word that she can agree with in faith and speak. And she does. Look at this, the next verses. This is John chapter 11. We're going to read verses 25, 26, and 27. Jesus has already given her a word. Now He's making it clear. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She pursued a word from Jesus, and Jesus gave her a word that she could stand on. Martha pursued a word, and she got a word to stand on. For you and I today, when we face circumstances that are contrary to the Word of God, when we face things that are contrary to the Word of God, pursue Jesus and stand on the Word. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, will give you revelation. What Jesus spoke to Martha, that was revelation at that time. When you pursue Jesus, when your circumstances are contrary to the Word and you pursue Jesus and you stand on the Word, I am telling you, the Holy Spirit will give you revelation. He will give you a word on how to stand in that time when you're frustrated and when you're confused. Do you believe me? Look, I'll give you an example. When I was standing against those symptoms that I had, I was standing. I was speaking the word in faith to my body. And I would rejoice because the symptoms were gone. And then 4 days later, I got to deal with the whole thing again. Week after week, this went on. Look, I'm telling you, I got frustrated. But I determined I was going to stand on the word of God. Listen, there was a moment When I almost said to Donna, look, we just need to go to the doctor. But when that thought came to my mind, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of, he had shown me two, give me two words of knowledge in 24 hours. And they were so exciting. And I was thanking Jesus. And I was praising him. Saying, that is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Why will you believe me when I tell you those two things, but you won't believe me when I tell you not to worry about these symptoms? And when I heard that revelation, I let it go. Yes, exactly. Huzzah! And that's when, all of a sudden, that is the moment that the Holy Spirit spoke to me specifically and showed me specifically how I was to stand and how I was to get past my own flesh so that I could walk into the promises that he had for me. He gave me a specific word and a specific thing to do. And when I obeyed and did that, the symptoms were gone and have never returned. I'm telling you that if you pursue Jesus, when you stand on the word and you don't see the circumstances, I know it can get frustrating, but you continue to stand and you pursue Jesus and you stand on the word and have an expectation that the Holy Spirit will give you a revelation. He will give you a word that you can stand on. He will give you a word to show you how to stand in your specific situation. There should be some excitement on your faces because that is really a great revelation to understand and something that we can expect in our lives. I understand it is frustrating when you stand and you don't see the things coming to pass. And I also understand that we can feel like a failure. I was there. I understand. I'm supposed to be standing up in front of all you and giving you the word of God. And here I was struggling in that area. But I would not relent. I would not yield. I understand it's frustrating. And I understand we can feel like a failure. But I want you guys to see the tenderness of Jesus' heart. He wants you to walk into this. He doesn't want anything blocking you. And look at the tenderness of the heart of Jesus Christ as he draws you near, even when you are experiencing the frustration of that moment. Look at these next verses. This is verses 28 and 29, still in John. And when she had said these things, so Jesus had just given her and said these things, and Martha just said, yes, I believe that you are the Son of God and you've come into the world. After she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, this is the heart of Jesus. The teacher has come. And he is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and she came to him. Here's Mary. Mary has believed the contrary evidence. Mary believed the circumstances instead of believing the word. Mary accepted the defeat. And even while she's grieving, Jesus calls her to him. If you're frustrated today, hear the voice of Jesus calling you to him. Pursue him. Keep going after the word of God. He will show you what you personally, what you specifically, he will give you a revelation and show you a word on how to stand so that you can walk in to all the promises that he has already established, and they're already there. It's already yours. He just wants us to walk into the fullness of it. So there's one final lesson that we learn from this account. So after this has all taken place, and we know that this whole story is focused on, I've been focusing on Martha and Mary, and yet this whole story really focuses on the resurrection of Lazarus, bringing Lazarus from death to life. So here's the last thing that we see. As Jesus is getting ready to raise Lazarus from death to life, he asks that the stone be removed from the tomb. But Martha interrupts him. Let's look at this next verse. This is verse number 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." We need to be so diligent against the distractions of the world. Here's Mar- Martha. She pursued Jesus for a word. She got a word from Jesus to stand on. And when she's confronted with the possibility of a very unpleasant natural occurrence, all of a sudden her eyes are off of the supernatural and onto the natural. She's seeing death, not life. We need to be so diligent because this is what the world does. The world distracts us from the word and from the promises that we're pursuing. Again, it's all the world knows. It's all that the world does. But Jesus, very gently, readjusts Martha's focus with these words. Verse number 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus then called for that stone to be taken out of the way. And then he called Lazarus to come forth from the dead. That's a great story as Lazarus is brought back to life. But remember this. It's because of the stone that was rolled away from Jesus' tomb, revealing that Jesus had risen in victory. Because of that, we never need to sit and grieve at what we think appears to be losses. Because of the stone rolled away for Jesus, because of that victory, we never need to sit and grieve at those losses. Instead, we stand on the Word of God, and we see the glory of God. Like Mary, we have received the Word of God. Like Mary, we can choose to be filled with the Word of God. But now, like Martha, let's stand on the Word of God. Let's pursue the Word of God and pursue the manifestations of His Word in every area of our lives. And when frustration comes and when confusion comes, you keep pursuing and you keep standing on the Word of God and have an expectation from this day forward, have an expectation that the Holy Spirit will give you a revelation, a word on how you are to stand, how you specifically, because He loves you and it's personal. It's personal with Him where you're at. Have an expectation for that. When I read these verses, I hear Jesus saying to me, "Todd, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Hear that voice of Jesus sharing that same truth and that same promise with you. "Donna, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" This is what He's sharing with us. "I am done with sitting in the house of grief with Job's friends from the world. I'm standing on the Word of God and seeing the glory of Jesus Christ in my life so that Job's friends around me also see that glory." Amen? If you believe that, let's stand up and let's praise Him as we close this morning. Sing like you believe it and are receiving it.